Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Family Business Today, where every family business has a story to tell and a step to take to not only thrive, but working together, create a lasting family legacy. I'm your host, Greg Lewis. Our guest today is Sarah B. Stern. Sarah is the owner of Family Business Minnesota, a practice focused on helping family business owners get what they want from their business, building lasting legacies, and having strong families. As the former director of the Family Business Center at the University of St. Thomas, trained coach, and a certified EOS implementer, she has a unique ability to help family businesses. She works exclusively with a limited number of family business leaders who want to maximize the impact they have on their companies, families, and communities. Well, hello, Sarah.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, well, thank you for joining me for this edition of Family Business Today. I've really been looking forward to our conversation today to learn more about your thoughts on the role of spouses in a family business and your work as an EOS implementer. So let's get started.
Excited to talk about it. Thanks for having me.
Well, Sarah, tell us about your background and what inspired you to write about family business spouses specifically.
Sure. I ran the Family Business Center in Minnesota, the one at St. Thomas, for 7 years and loved that work and said, my whole career needs to be about supporting family businesses and helping them to be healthier and really thrive. And something I noticed over my time at the Family Business Center is a lot of owners would come and talk with me about issues they were having. And I'd say, I don't think that person is the right person to be working in the business. And they'd say, well, we can't fire that person, grandpa or mom or Aunt Matilda or whatever are going to say no way. And it occurred to me that there's all these spouses out there who have good intentions when they make those rules. But what they're really ending up doing is hurting the family and hurting the business. And I wanted there to be a resource for them. And then I couldn't find one. So I had to make one on my own.
That's a great, there's a lot of spouses, both men and women who are not actively involved in the family business, but they have such an important integral role in the business because of their relationship with the owner or the next generation. So I look forward to digging into that with you here in a few minutes, but you also work as an EOS implementer. What is that?
Yeah, a good question. Spaghetti or, alphabet soup there. So I help companies implement the entrepreneurial operating system. And a lot of people hear that and they think it's some sort of software thing. And my God, you don't want me to help you implement software. But the entrepreneurial operating system, it's really made for any company with between 10 and 250 employees that's open to being, vulnerable with each other as a leader team that wants to grow, that's entrepreneurial. I happen to focus on family businesses because it's the best tool I found to help family businesses get really, really clear on where they're headed, how to get there, and then be healthy, be a really, really, really healthy team as they accomplish their vision.
Well, thank you for sharing that. So, we have some spouses that are listening to this program this morning. How do you decide on what you can do to play an appropriate constructive role in the family business as a spouse?
Yeah. Wow. Do we have 4 or 5 hours today? I forget.
Oh, okay. How about?
Yeah. How about 40 or 50 seconds? So I would say that the number one place to start is understanding. It's a really simple thing. It's called the three circle model of family business. And it's the idea that the family and the business and the ownership group, those are the three circles in the three circle model. While they overlap, they're not on top of each other. So, rules of engagement that make sense in the family, things like, if you're in the family, you can't get kicked out. Those are really, really healthy in the family, but they're not healthy in the business. Ideally, in a family business, everybody who works there is really good at their job. They understand it and they want to be there. And that's just, I think, the number one first place to start is understanding there's different ways you engage in the family than you do in the business or ownership. There's a different leader for each of those circles. There's different priorities. There's different decisions and different meetings that need to happen for all three.
You mentioned it a little bit already. We say that family is family and business is business.
Yeah.
And never the two shall meet unless, of course, you work together in a family business.
Right.
But how can a spouse help their spouse keep the boundary between family and business as clear as possible, especially when we get into those areas where they overlap?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I often like to say this, and so I'm going to share this here. Somebody taught me, I think it was my sister, taught me a couple years ago, the proper way to execute a high five. Do you know the trick to that?
Go ahead and share okay. with our listeners.
I'm going to get around to the point here. It looks like I'm going on a tangent. But if you want to have a really good, satisfying high five, look at the other person's elbow when you're doing the high five. For some reason, that makes your hands just hit really nice every time, even if it's a kid that you're giving a high five. So I like to say, you know, in order to have a satisfying high five, you have to look in an unexpected place. And it's the same for family business. So thinking about that question of how can a spouse of a family business owner help that family business owner, you know, do great work and keep those boundaries. The place I would say to look, often people look at the day to day, you know, they'll look at something like, don't pick up the phone or don't check email on the weekend or that kind of thing. And it's a really, you know, it's like looking at the hand when you're doing a high five. Looking at the elbow for a spouse is really digging in and understanding what's the vision for the family? What's the vision for the business? What's the vision for ownership? And when the spouse understands those big pictures, they're really just supporting the vision instead of kind of trying to pick arbitrary things like, don't fire my kid or don't check email on Sunday or come home for dinner by 6:30 p.m. Although those are often really important to spouses, I always would encourage a spouse who's listening to this to really back up and say, what's the vision? What are you trying to accomplish? What's the big picture?
Hmm.
Once they understand that, it's easier to say something like, you know, hey, is what you're doing helping with the vision versus, hey, you know, get off your email or whatever the specific thing might be.
Sure. Well, talking about that communications a little bit more, you know, in my work with family businesses, I know some people have this veil between the family and the business, and a family business owner, when he or she comes home, doesn't want to talk about business. And yet the spouse may not be involved in the business. So what kind of understanding should a family business owner have with their spouse about communications regarding their business?
Wow. Such a good question. So there's a couple of things I'd recommend. What I've seen is there's are a lot of family business owners who have that veil. And the one time they break it is when they're really upset or mad at someone.
Mm. Right.
And then it's so sad because then the spouse only hears about the bad days. You know, I might come home and say, oh, my sister pissed me off at work. And then, which I don't work with my sister, but as an example. And then all my husband knows is the crummy thing my sister did, not the 400 great things that happened, you know, for the last 3 months. So I think it's really important to make agreements between the spouses, you know, what's on, you know, what's okay to talk about, what's not okay to talk mm-hmm. about, and pre-plan that. So it doesn't just accidentally only become the bad days.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to say a repeat, you know, talking about what's the vision, at least what's the big picture of what you're trying to accomplish there is mm-hmm. a really valuable thing to
yeah.
have both people understand.
Oh, good, 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 good. I know I worked with my dad in our family business for over 17 years. And, my wife would and my mother would talk often, and mother would say dad would come home and eat Greg's soup every night, and when I would come home to Jennifer at night, I would eat dad's soup every night.
Yes.
So.
Totally true, right?
It is.
There's there's a father and a son that I know of, and for a while the son lived in an apartment connected to his parents' house, and so they would commute back and forth to work, and on the way out of the door in the morning they'd say, oh, good morning, and call each other by the first name, you know, like their work name. And then as they drove in the driveway in the evening, they'd get out of the car and they'd say, oh, hi dad, hi son, as a way to kind of try to separate the relationship of colleague to family member.
Well, you know, conflict is inevitable in a family business, and well, really in any business, but what role should a spouse take when dealing with sibling rivalries or cousin squabbles or parent-child disputes when working together in a family business?
You know, the short answer is not the good answer, but I'm gonna start with the short answer. And in general, I would say the smartest thing a spouse can do is make sure to stay out of triangles. So, you know, if somebody is complaining to you about someone else, don't go report that to the other person. It's not helpful. You know, stay out of the middle of things. That's the general response that I have. There's, of course, a handful of situations where it makes sense to get involved. But you don't want to get in between people. So let's say you're the chief emotional officer, which is the leader of the family circle. Every once in a while, that person needs to step in and say, no more fighting, or here's the decision, right? They do get involved. But I'd say for every 99 squabbles, there might be one time that that's important. In general, the answer is don't get in the middle. Don't report what one person says to another person. Let them have their disagreements. Let them have their arguments. It's for them to work out, not for you to be a part of.
Well, it sounds like what I'm hearing you say is it's more about listening rather than fixing the problem as a spouse. I think about my wife and three daughters, and as a dad and also as the owner of a company, my thing was to fix things. Yes. But sometimes Jennifer would say, really all they want you to do is listen. And so how important is it for spouses to develop good listening skills?
Yeah, I know my response is going to be annoying to a fair amount of people, but listening is huge. But I will say too, some spouses kind of take this tact of only listening and never having an opinion. And I think that's a mistake too. I like to encourage people to think of themselves as Mickey Mouse. So two big giant ears and one small mouth. That mouth should get to talk. It should get to have opinions and make statements. But start with the two big giant ears, asking questions, understand where people are going, understand the big, you know, the long-term vision. And then make your statements, you know, here and there. But mostly ask questions, understand what's annoying, understand what's exciting. Then you can make really helpful and influential statements and have really informed opinions.
Very good. Very good. Well, really, it's all about communications, right? A lot of our family business now generation are starting to think about transitioning their business to the next generation. And really, communication is a very, very important part of that. When should a family business owner start talking about their transition plans with their spouse?
You know, I'm going to be a little cheeky here, but the real answer is never. They should always be talking about it. That being said, I know there's a whole bunch of family business owners who haven't said one word. So, and that's normal. And that's totally, totally normal. So, but my whole point is, ideally, you're talking about this stuff all the time. And the reason I say that is a family business succession, which of course, you know, and I imagine a lot of people in your audience know, takes an average of 8 years, which means some take a lot more than that. And sadly, some are emergency ones and they, you know, are very short. But in general, I would say having that line of communication open as early as possible and as often as possible is valuable, because of course they are affected by that event. You know, are they selling it? Are they, you know, gosh, funding the sale of it? The spouse gets involved financially really quick and needs time to understand the ins and outs and what kind of risk that means for them, or what kind of risk they're taking, you know, as part of that succession planning and exit planning.
Very good. Very good. Well, we've sort of been talking about a spouse that's not working in the business, but there are a lot of owners and spouses that work together in the family business. What should a family business owner consider before inviting their spouse to join them working in the family business?
I think the first and most important piece in that is, can the two of them agree on a shared vision for what their family life will look like and what the business will look like? I think starting with that big picture is key. And a very, very, very close second is, does the spouse truly get the role that they'd be a part of? Or are they just the safest option? Right? Do they want that? Like, would this role actually feed them as a human? So do they want to be there? And then do they have the skills and the abilities to do the job? And if that's not a strong yes for all three of those, don't do it. It's going to be more stress and harder than it's worth. I know a lot of people will bring a spouse in to handle the money because they think, well, this is the person I trust the most.
Right.
But if that person doesn't totally get it, if they're not excited about the job, and if they don't have the skills and training, ooh, boy, the pain will outweigh the level of trust very quickly.
Right, right.
Very,
well,
very quickly.
Well, you really hit right on it there. You should look at your family members as you would someone that you're hiring for the job. It's not a family a member. Do they have the skills, the abilities, to be able to do the specific job that you're going to be hiring them to do when they come in to the business? Because it's just, it's so important that, you know, it would be terrible to have somebody as vice president of sales that's a son or daughter or whatever, and they have no sales skills or no financial skills or whatever. So that's so very, very important to be able to do that. And then also having a family, having a policy about how to hire family members and how to fire family members is so important. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I completely agree. It's outrageously important. Maybe even more important than hiring, you know, a person off the street. One of the reasons I say that is when a person doesn't really get their job, or they don't really want to be there, or they're underqualified or even overqualified for a role, when there's not a match for those three things, it just kind of sucks that person dry. It's bad for that person. And there's so much loyalty involved in a family business that it can be hard for a person to leave a role that they're not set out for, or hard for family to ask them to leave the role. So getting that right from the very beginning is huge. And I'll say this too, family business has a reputation for bringing in underqualified people for roles, and that's, you know, next generation or spouses. But what I see over and over is family businesses tend to bring people in who are overqualified for jobs. And I think that's just as dangerous. You know, why would you bring in a spouse who's maybe run a whole division of another company and bring them in to be your payroll person or your bookkeeper? Like, that's just a terrible mistake. So please make sure the puzzle pieces fit for the job and the person and their skills and abilities.
Very good. Very good. Well, let's look over on the other side of it. As we talked about, what should the family business owner consider before inviting their spouse to join them working in the family business? What should the spouse consider before joining their spouse in the family business?
Yeah, I'm going to say the same two things, and then I'm going to add another one. So are they excited about the vision for the business? Are they excited about what the vision could look like for the family? Do they really get the role? Do they want the role? And do they have, you know, the capacity, the skills and abilities to do it? Those are so important. But the other thing then is, how involved do they want to be with their spouse's family? So assuming if you're in a family business, there's at least, you know, not just your spouse, there may be other family members. There also may be family members who are owners, and really considering, can I have a great relationship with my spouse's family if I work with them? That I think is such a massively important question for a spouse to consider when they think about coming into a family business. Mm.
Very good. Very good. Well, Sarah, you've actually written some books, I believe, about spouses of family business owners. Could you tell us a little bit about them and where our listeners could get a copy of them to read?
I thank you for asking that. I wrote a book called Married to the Family Business, a handbook for spouses of family business owners. I think it's 58 pages long. It has pictures and it has white space. So it really is meant to be something that, you know, would be purchased and written in and used as a tool. They're online on that book's online on Amazon. You can just search for Sarah B. Stern. My name's a sentence, and I think that's fun. And that book should pop up. My other book is not for spouses, but I've found out that a fair amount of spouses read it. It's called Start Here, and it's similar to the book that is specifically for spouses. It's meant to help a family business figure out the first steps for succession, but it also just takes people through thinking through what is your vision as an ownership group.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I like the part about the, a lot of white space, because that's really good for people to write things in it that is relevant to their family business, so they can start having conversations around those. So that's good there.
Yeah, well, I've got to say, I'm a fan actually of conflict in family business, and I don't mean the destructive kind, but people having great discussions and debates about what the right thing is to do. And so I wrote those books so people could get prepared to go in and have great, healthy conflict with each other.
Sure. And it's such a healthy way we've seen as a in all things in life is it seems that unhealthy conflict and conversation is the norm of the day, but you can actually have healthy disagreements, because many times that's what helps the great idea or the next great idea for your family business to bubble up to the top, that may take your family business higher than maybe you ever thought possible. So yes, I agree with you on the disagreeing and having permission to do it.
It's so helpful.
It is. Well, we're coming to the close of our time today. Some great information about spouses in the family business, and I always remind people that it's not necessarily the husband and the wife joining them. I work with as many as where the wife is the primary leader of the family business, and the husband is working in the business in a supporting role. So what are some closing thoughts you would like to leave our listeners with today?
I guess I'd leave it with this. I think a lot of people in family business just assume it should feel chaotic and difficult and risky and emotionally painful. And my experience is that when you dig into just a handful of simple tools, it can actually be uplifting and enlightening and help make you be a better person, help make your life be easier. So if you're just accepting hard, difficult, painful, life-sucking reality, you don't have to. It doesn't have to be like that. It can be the exact opposite. And my wish for all of your listeners is that that's the kind of family business they get to enjoy being a part of.
Well, Sarah, thank you for being my guest on Family Business Today. Please accept our best wishes for continued success as you help family business owners get what they want from their business, build lasting legacies, and really have strong families.
Thank you very, very, very much for having me.
Well, to learn more about Sarah Stern, visit her website at www.sarahbstern.com. To our listeners, thank you for joining us for the Family Business Today podcast, brought to you by the Tennessee Center for Family Business, located in Nashville, Tennessee. Our passion is to help families create a positive environment where the family thrives, the business performs, and working together, create a lasting family legacy. Whether you're a business owner looking to grow your family business, or you are wanting to prepare to someday sell or transition the business to the next generation, check out our free resources on our website at www.tncfb.com. If you want to talk to a family business advisor about your specific family business needs, schedule a 30-minute no-cost call by sending us an email to info@tncfb.com. Meanwhile, if you want to talk, we will listen. So until next time, thanks for joining us.